relax and get loose while I put you up on game. The Figure Booth with Josh and Nate, this that podcast, folk. Those in the know, Batman versus Iron Man, how would it go? We talking one of a kind, collectibles, Mezco toys are respectable. It's unacceptable if it's not in the packaging. Nate don't take pics if you ain't rapping it. Nate's dirty tricks are always happening, but damn it, man, don't you be stressing. Round here we believe in plastic confessions. We trying to figure out the figures that's gonna stand the test of time. That G.I. Joe handmade hit me in the spine. There's perfection in the way that these toys are made. But I also wanna know, do I pick Wade or Slade? So this is where I come to kick it with the guys. The Figure Booth, like, comment, and subscribe.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Figure Booth here, where we talk about the modern day collector and ups and downs that we go through. We go over pre-orders, we share our plastic confessions, we do interviews with those in the toy community. I'm your host, Josh, aka Prime to the First, and I'm joined by none other than Figure Fan underscore Nate.
Hello everyone, and thank you for joining us for another episode. You've reached episode 88, which we're calling Plastic Gluttony.
Give it all to me. I want more.
I'm a glutton for plastic.
Who isn't?
I think a lot of our listeners are gluttons for plastic.
We're addicts of plastic. We're gluttoners of plastic. More plastic. Plastic.
Addicts supporting addicts, right?
Man, it's been a good minute. This getting back on the horse, getting back on the wagon, off the wagon.
Yeah.
It seems like, you know.
We're getting there.
We're getting there.
We had a couple episodes already. And,
yeah. It's I think this new
episodes, but
this new routine of sprinkling it out, you know,
yeah,
throughout the month. We're doing at least twice, two episodes.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, two episodes a month.
You think, you know what, that's enough, because there's a lot of craziness going on between like what we have going on, whether it's day to day stuff and, you know, holidays and all that. But then sometimes I'm like, man, we need to get back in there because there's so much that we're missing out on, or that we want to like just add our ingredients to the pot. So
right.
There's a lot of dialogue going on.
Yeah, a lot of discussion going on. A lot of stuff being revealed recently as you think about like Toy Fair and New York Comic Con. And then we got Legions Con coming up soon.
Yeah.
Just a lot of new things. And it feels like we just got out of a con with SDCC recently. And now we're into another one. And there's just more and more stuff. So yeah, me and Prime wanted to make sure that we added our two cents and our thoughts on some of this stuff,
whether they're recently wanted or not.
Yeah, whether or not you care, we're here to provide it.
That's right.
And if you if you're a newer subscriber, or if you haven't checked out our channel recently, make sure you guys go check us out. Yeah, right. What, you've been living under a rock or something?
What's the matter with you?
Make sure you guys subscribe to the Figure Booth. Make sure you hit the notification bell so you don't miss when we either go live or post new episodes. Our last episode, which was posted about 2 weeks ago, is called Smiles and Cries, episode 87. Had a good time chatting with Prime about different stuff that we deal with. You know, I won't go into specifics. You guys
some can good get feedback it too. I liked some of those comments.
Yeah, a lot of great comments. Thank you guys for all the comments, all the support. As we kind of getting back in the swing of things, I really enjoy reading those comments. Mm-hmm. It seems like it's touched some people. Thank you for all the kind words in regards to my dog. I really appreciate that. I got some other stories from some other people, some DMs about other people that had their own loss. They said it helped them. So that's kind of what that's for. Those episodes might not always apply to everyone, but I know there's somebody out there that's probably going through something that's difficult or something that we're talking about. So we're just trying to appeal to the masses. But that's not what we're here for today.
Nope.
We're here for the plastic gluttony, the influx of new figures coming in. And then also, you know, what's the difference between what you would call maybe a designer figure or an artist figure or like a basic figure?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, where do you bridge that gap? And then also keeping that in your consideration of what you're expecting from those figures.
Right. And it's tough. Like, I had a really good firsthand experience when we attended, man, it's crazy. Again, I'm thinking like Designer Con when all of the OG enablers first met. And that's now like 2 years ago. Yeah, it was like 2021. And it was crazy because the designer cards, specifically like for those, you know, up and coming or just very independent artists, which DesignerCon is happening again this time in December. And yeah, the expectations you have when you're either supporting this one individual, because usually the teams are much, much smaller. These, whether it's figures or what have you, they're not produced on a mass production type of level where you have, it's somebody like Hasbro, right? So sometimes I think the expectations there kind of fall short because we're expecting like a Marvel legend, but you may be getting something that's created in someone's garage or something.
Right. And a lot of that sometimes, like we've talked about, is like artist specifics. They're trying to nail a certain aesthetic or a certain look or some kind of, you know, personal design. And sometimes you get like a vinyl figure, maybe is one of the examples that doesn't really have any articulation. It's more for the look.
Yep.
But if you're kind of a noob looking in, you're like, well, what is that? Why would I want to buy that?
Yeah.
But it's not, it's not really appealing to the entry level guy. It's more appealing to somebody that's looking for something very specific.
Somebody with the refined taste
for collecting. A connoisseur, for instance. Yeah.
The connoisseur, like my collection is much refined now. I'm not just buying whatever you can buy at Walmart. Like, you have to go places. You have to go into dark alleys and get the figures. I have one of one.
And that's sometimes too part of it, right? The rarity.
Yeah.
And a lot of things that's cool about cons and stuff like Designer Con is you're kind of meeting the artist and then seeing their product right in front of you.
Yeah.
So you normally you get like more of a personal relationship with these people. You get to kind of know more about them. What was the idea behind the figure?
Yeah.
How did it come to fruition?
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of the times I enjoy the story behind stuff. Like, I want to know what it took to get there, because I think a lot of us make assumptions on, you know, you hear it all the time. You know, why can't Mezco just make this? Or why can't Hasbro just do this? Mm-hmm. You don't really understand what goes into creating that stuff. It's a lot more work than you might expect. And it takes a lot of planning. So they can't just like change it because of somebody's hateful comment or the community thinking a certain way. Mm-hmm. You know, so I really enjoy those kind of cons, like Designer Con, which used to be a bit smaller, which is really turning into something huge now. But the more of the personal interactions with people, you know, I think that's more of like, do you have a passion for not just action figures, but do you have a passion for the industry? You know, I think it's a different kind of collector.
Yeah. And sometimes, I think, again, to your point, like if you're just coming into collecting, you're much more of a novice, it's going to be a little intimidating because you're going to feel like I'm just wasting my money. Like, I don't know freaking Nate from my neighbor. Like, why am I going to send him $35 to support his journey, whatever? I'd rather go do some hunting, and I want to stay within the race. Cause I think a lot of us, when you first step into it, that's the feeling we get. Like, we're missing out. They just dropped this at my local Target, or, you know, my wall. I've been checking and trying to keep up with everyone's stories of how they're discovering the latest drops. And that's, I think, where a lot of times the new collector spends most of their energy. And a lot of times, like, you get burnt out easily because you start finding yourself, like we've said, you start buying every single thing you come across just because that's what your social media presence is influencing you to try to keep up with everybody else. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's an important point. People buy what they see a lot of, you know, if I'm seeing a lot of people buying G.I. Joe classifieds, I might be more, I might, want to buy a G.I. Joe classified. Or if I see Mike, AZ Toy Hunters Guild, buying a bunch of NECA, I'm like, well, now I kind of want to buy some NECA.
Yeah.
You know, you're influenced by other people. That's why you call it influencers. You're seeing what they're buying and you kind of want it for yourself. But then as you get more and more into the hobby, you start having your own personal tastes. And sometimes it's not just about the articulation or, you know, what I'm getting for my money. It's more of like, what is this really, what's the statement that this is trying to make? Or am I supporting someone that maybe is an up and comer?
Yeah.
Cause that's important to me too. You want to support people in the community. This community only exists from support from other people. Mm-hmm. So if you're not contributing to that in a way where maybe you're trying to help an up and comer or jumping on a Kickstarter or something, you're kind of just riding the wave of what you're getting. And sometimes people that maybe have been in the hobby for a long time feel like they should be getting something because of that.
Right. Oh yeah. But,
you know, you are buying the toys, but what are you really doing to contribute to the the cause kind of thing.
Right.
You know,
to it's right now, it's like the perfect, it is. We keep saying that it's like the perfect time to be a collector because there is so much, there is a ton of stuff, but also there's like, there's a sense of timing it too. There's a lot of collectors where you have like the right time because there's so much. There's the excessive availability of just figures, whether it's through Target or Amazon or whatnot. Like they had some crazy prime deals, but then you start seeing some of those same figures, like entire waves, pop up at discount stores, whether it's on the East Coast at Ollie's or here in the West Coast. It's like you find them at Ross or Burlington Co Factories. Like I see everyone's story and now I'm hitting up Ross's. Like it's rare that I go and start digging through the toy aisle at Ross, but we have two Ross's here, like pretty close to me. And I'm like, okay, why? I've checked this Ross twice this week. Nothing. I'm like, why am I getting sucked into this? Like, now I'm buying like $5 legends, which, hey, I'll do that every day, but do I really need $5 legends, $5.99 legends? You know?
Yeah, it comes down to like, did you want it before it was on sale?
Or do you only want it? I didn't want it at all. Like, that's the thing. Only because it's $6.
Some people are ridiculous. So tempted by a good deal. And I think some of that is also like the wanting to flip, you know? Like, I can flip this.
Yeah.
But if it's already at $6 at Ross,
how much more are you going to flip it for?
Yeah. How much are you going to flip that for? Like, you think somebody's going to buy that at full price? Maybe.
Yeah.
But if you're, you know, if that's the only intent, then that's probably the wrong idea.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think as we see more stuff coming in, and this harkens back to an old episode, you got to have like some kind of goal. Like, what are you trying to go for?
Yeah. No, yeah. There was a couple legends I had my eyes on. And then like Target had that crazy, they just threw a bunch of stuff on clearance. And so like you had a lot of the newer sets, the deluxe sets for like $20 where they were originally, you know, they're 50% off. Like the Hawkeye was like, you know, $27 or whatever. I was hitting up Targets like crazy. I came across everything but Hawkeye. Hawkman. Hawkeye. Why am I? I got two different Hawk. Yeah, I got a story about
the Hawkeye. Mac attack.
Yeah, it's the Hawkeye, Hawkman. Hawkman for Toddy Mac, that's for later. But Hawkeye, I had my eye on Hawkeye because he comes with that sky cycle, right? So I'm hitting up two different Targets and they had, you know, the Destroyer, the Thor, and the Incredible Hulk. And I was like, oh, these are really good deal. It's like, do I really want them? I only want a Destroyer. And I was like, I don't want none of these other figures. I only want a Bruce Banner. I already have a bunch of Hulks. I already have my Thor. And I was like, I don't know. I'd rather leave it behind for someone else who really wants the set or another collector, whatever. So I just walked away. And it sucks because I couldn't find freaking Hawkeye. So I had to buy them, you know, for regular price. It stunk. But hey, at the end of the day, I'm like, I'd rather pay like retail price because he's easier to find right now online than waiting. And then I have to pay like double the price for those that scooped them up super cheap. And now they're trying to, like you said, now they're trying to flip them. So now they'll be charging like, you know, retail or if not more.
Right. It can be really frustrating too when you see some stories of people that, you know, like, oh, I got this for $12 or got this for $6. And
then a month
later, you go out and try to find it yourself. You're like, I'm not finding that. And then you, like, for some reason, get mad at either the company that you're trying to buy from for not having it in stock. Like, how dare you?
Yeah.
Or you're just mad at the person that you saw that had it.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, because you, maybe, I don't know, that FOMO. Now you're pissed off.
I'm telling you, man. I'm feeling like, do I need Marvel Legends in my collection right now? Because they're so cheap. Maybe. No, I don't. I don't.
I mean, there's a part of you that I can see why. Like, hey, if I maybe got rid of my old Hawkeye, I want a new Hawkeye.
Well, the Hawkeye was for sure. Like, I had seen so much great stuff about him. I had already liked them from the get-go because of the Sky Cycle. And it's like homage to that video game. That was just what it's just timing again, like going back, just timing. I knew they were gonna go on sale. Obviously, I didn't get there in time or I didn't hit up the targets. And I seen the stories, like everybody was posting, check your targets. And I was like, I don't care, whatever. And I had a bunch of reward points. And so even though I got them for retail, I only ended up paying like I think $10 or so. So I was like, no big deal. But it's crazy again, once you're in the store and you start seeing all the deals, like I was like, oh, wow, look at this. I stepped into this Target and they have all these Marvel Legends for like half off. then you start like, oh, okay, now I can, you know, make it worth my while and scoop up some of these figures. Mm-hmm. But I didn't. I was like, you know what? At the end of the day, I'm not that heavy into Legends as I used to be. So I should probably just wait. Just like stick to my original plan, which is like key characters that have always been my favorite. And once they hit that price point that I'm okay with, then I'll scoop them up. Especially mm-hmm. nowadays that they're coming out with less and less accessories, you know, and now we're hitting that $30 price point. That's a tough pill for me to swallow.
Yeah, less accessories, more expensive.
Yeah.
Sometimes harder to get, sometimes easier. But yeah, like the G.I. Joe classified Walmart exclusive stuff. I always have a tendency to want to jump on that.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, maybe because it's exclusive.
Yeah.
Maybe because I have an interest in the figure. But if that would have been a regular retail release, would I have been as interested? I don't know. You know, it's hard to know because I think the rarity and what it is can kind of combat with each other.
Right.
You know, like, do I want this because it's rare? Do I want this because I know it's going to be hard to find? Yeah. Do I want this because I can post it on my story and say, look what I got? You know, type of thing. And then I look at it 6 months later, like, okay, I still haven't opened that. Cool.
Oh yeah, that's a sign.
Yeah, it is. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff throughout New York Comic Con, throughout Toy Fair recently that was revealed, and it just got us thinking, like, you know, what is the difference between what you would consider like an artist creator figure or designer figure versus something that is more mainstream,
right?
And then, like, how do they differ from mass-produced figures? And, like, what appeals to you, I guess, if you're looking for a designer figure, what is it that you like about it?
I mean, for me, like, right now, I think, like, a unique figure to the point where it's not so unique that it completely doesn't go with my collection, you know? And not that I'm an avid toy photographer, but there's some future plans to, like, reorganize the mm-hmm. collection, but I wanted to kind of be a cohesive piece where it's a good representation of the type of action figures that I'm into. So it's, you know, a lot of the stuff, it is G.I. Joe's, it's, you know, comic book related. So sometimes these unique properties where I'm like, you know what, that looks like it could be part of the G.I. Joe universe, or that looks like it could be part of a Marvel Legend toy shot or something. When I hopefully set the time to start taking some shots again. So a lot of times I'm kind of like planting the seed of like keeping the eye on one scale wise, like all, I don't want to get into like getting all these random Toddy Macs that are so big or, you know, figures that are much larger. Like for example, Storm Collectibles. Like I went through this really hardcore phase where I was collecting Storm Collectibles and trying to get them, trying to get certain lines. And, but at the end of the day, like it's a tough line to keep up with because they don't go with the rest of my stuff. And the majority of my stuff now is Mezco. So I'm like, I got to stay within like that size, that scale, that type of vibe, you know. Even with the Rumble Royal Society stuff, it's like, I've kind of hang back on that and really stuck to either just the Gomez stuff or some of the stuff that's kind of like more comic book in tune where it's like just the DC stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm. And that begs the question too, is like, would you consider Mezco a designer figure because of the tailored
to a certain extent,
cloth goods?
Yeah, because,
you know,
yep, I would. And in that sense, it makes it easier for me to pivot and collect like these third party figures from like sites like 5K Toys or VCS Toy Box, where they're offering Noda Toys or Felix Toys. And you know, there, even those companies have made significant quality control improvements where they're not so brittle. The paint applications are on point. Like, you know, that Rich Man figure, he's really good. The Logan figure, those are really stellar figures. The latest, the Joker and the Superman Kingdom Come, those are phenomenal figures too. So that right there to me, I'm like, that's a quality figure. And that goes perfectly with my Mezco collection.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, you bring up some good points. Mm-hmm. A lot of the times, you know, when you think of designer, sometimes it's like the materials or, you know, the quality. designer toys are often made with, you know, high quality stuff like
right.
cloth goods and maybe a more articulated body or more accessories.
Yeah. I think the attention to detail is definitely there with the designer. You know, if you want to call it a designer toy where you, and this is what it's done to me. And I've gone in these phases where you go and, for example, some of my Mezco Batmans, and you start looking at other artists. We talked about the supporting art, other artists where they're specifically focused on like head sculpts. Like I've purchased 60, 70, sometimes $80 heads. And it's just the head sculpt, which that's the same price for the figure. But now I'm taking that Mezco figure where the minute I start investing that much into one figure, I'm like, okay, I'm there's not going to be a chance where I'm going to sell it for what I'm already putting into it. Like this figure is just going to stay with me. They might as well bury me with it. So, you know, I've bought a couple of head sculpts or, you know, customized capes or, you know, sets. Like right now you see a lot of like these tailored sets that are sold or, you know, you're able to add very specific items to that one figure. So then that way you can customize your own figure.
Right. Yeah. Things like head sculpts, like the clothing, like the Kylab stuff I've been seeing is amazing. Yeah. Even down to like dioramas, you know, if you're wanting to really enjoy your figures or have a great place to display them, sometimes you invest in like a diorama, which I would consider to be a designer item.
Yeah, no, definitely. You know,
you're paying someone a premium for their artistic expression.
And with those things, that this is where like the connoisseur collector, where you've been in the game for a long time and you're kind of satisfied with where your collection's at, but you're ready to take it to the next level. And I've seen this because, you know, collectors have reached out to me when they want certain pieces, whether it's arcade pieces or dial pieces or whatnot. If a lot of us have brands and we have reputations that we're known for in the community, but that novice collector, and I've seen this on threads or certain posts where they'll post up a couple of Batman head sculpts. And the prices are listed. Like this one guy that I follow, the name blanks me right now, but he posts all these prices on there. And it's like $65 for each head sculpt. But then you still have to ship them. And he's like, I think Australia or New Zealand, somewhere. He's not local. He's not in the US. So it's going to be pricey. But sometimes the comments are like, oh, that's super. Why would I pay that? And I'm like, you obviously, like you're a novice. You're an entry-level collector. You have no idea. When you get a good quality head sculpt, like there is... there's nothing that
no comparison
when the quality head sculpts there, that the paint applications there. I've gotten like okay head sculpts with crappy paint jobs, and then I've gotten the stellar head sculpt with a really good paint job, and I'm like, okay, never again am I gonna go down the cheap route. And then at that was a lesson learned. Like I got semi burnt, but that was like years ago. You know, I paid $30 versus 60, and it's like day and night, like day and from that sense I'm like, okay, now I know. You know, Drones Customs is really, he's known for his head sculpts. And I've gotten a handful of his head sculpts, and they're phenomenal work. Phenomenal.
Yeah. I think it goes back to you get what you pay for, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we're talking about designer versus, like, mainstream toys, and the same thing kind of applies with customizers. I see the same thing that Prime talked about, where people are like, why the hell would I pay that much money when I can get a full figure from Hasbro for $20? Like, it's not really an apples to apples comparison. You're kind of just using something that you know is cheap as a comparison to, as you know, why can't this guy do that?
You know, here's a like, head sculpt I bought. It was like $50 for the head sculpt. I think it was like at 45 with shipping and everything. It was $50.
Yeah, they get pricey, like, but they're worth it.
Yeah.
It just depends on what's important to you, you know, as a collector. You know, what stage of collecting are you, and what's motivating you? If you have that much love for the hobby, sometimes you start having love for the artistic appreciation.
It feels like this was planned. I have another one up here too.
You've always been like the head sculpt connoisseur though. You know, ever since I've known you, you've
pricey one too.
Been heavy investor.
So this head sculpt I've had for like, I want to say like 5 years. I bought from Facebook, and I think it was like $60 too.
See, it looks awesome.
I mean, I've had that head sculpt for 5 years. Like, it's crazy.
It lasts a long time. If you take care of it, it lasts for a while.
Oh, yeah. It's not like I'm fucking kicking trees with it or nothing.
Well, see, you have like a deep passion for like specific things, though. You want like a specific look for Wolverine, or
right.
You want to take that Wolverine figure to the next level. And that's why you're investing in that.
And I go through this phase where I'm like, Exactly. Like I see, I want the character to be look a certain way. I'm like, yes, I'm going to get that. I don't care how much it costs. And that's the thing. Like, I don't care how much it costs. Like if I don't buy a figure for a month or two, whatever, as long as I get my head sculpt or whatever it is. I thought I had another head sculpt here, but I just put it away.
Yeah. So like for people to say, you know, go on someone's post and like, this is really expensive. Like why even say anything? It's just don't buy it.
Obviously like, it's not in your pay grade.
Yeah. Being negative to be negative about it. And you're just showing your true colors when you do stuff like that. Just move along. You know, it's not necessary to try to make somebody feel bad or try to change their opinion by being rude, because you're not going to change anybody's opinion. That guy's not going to DM you and be like, yeah, you know what? You're right. Here it is for $20 less. It's never going to happen.
Yeah.
You just look like an asshole. So I think that comes with the knowledge and expertise, right? Like a connoisseur versus a new collector. Guys that have been in the business or collecting for a while, they have a really deep knowledge about the toy history, the specific toy lines, the manufacturers, the variations, the market trends. They can kind of easily identify what's rare, what's more valuable. Whereas a new collector is kind of like more of just, I like this. I like the way this looks. Or I've never collected this line before. Let me try it. And that's cool too. You know, we all go through those new collector kind of discoveries, and that can be fun, but also a little dangerous at the same time, because you're just buying literally everything.
Yep. It gets pretty pricey.
Right. But then would you say that being a toy connoisseur gives you more entitlement as far as what you expect?
Well, you know, sometimes I think that can happen without you knowing it.
Definitely.
You're just like,
yeah,
you know, and the problem with that is like, then once you start buying figures, you expect that with the figure, like you're just, my paint app should always be stellar, or I don't know. It's just, it's, I think it's a little hard to not let it get to you. So
yeah,
every once in a while, like you need to give yourself a little quick check, be like, okay, like, let's just settle down. Maybe we need to take a break. Maybe we need to just pause.
Yeah. I mean, I get wanting certain things or expecting certain things when you're spending $100 in a Mezco. That's, you know, I'm not saying that you're wrong for expecting that, but that doesn't really give you the excuse to be like rude about it if you're not getting what you want, or, you know, saying hateful stuff about it. Like, just don't buy the next one, you know? I think people that have been in the industry for a long time or have been collecting for a long time get this like entitlement sometimes about their opinion being more important than other people's opinions. And, you know, calling out like, you haven't been in the game for a while, you don't know what you're talking about. Like, you don't really know that guy though. You know, and I just feel like that sometimes create a toxic community.
Yeah.
Where people are saying certain things because they feel like they have the entitlement to do so because they've been around for a long time.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, we're all just kind of collecting to have fun. So why do we have to make it some kind of competition?
Yeah. And there's so much to collect now. I mean, like that's the crazy thing, where now this community is at a whole different level, where you're seeing, you know, guys that we see on YouTube start their own figures, everybody, you know, and in a successful way too. Like, even though there's sometimes some shade that gets thrown at them, which I don't understand. At the end of the day though, when they're successful, I think it only makes the community that much more successful. So it's awesome that not only are they taking the courage to making it happen, but, you know, they're banding together with the right resources and they're bringing it to fruition, whether it's you know, we have Shardimus Prime with his Street Humans, or Wade with his Odious, or High School Creations with his Wallach Steez. Like, those all have been successful projects, but a lot of it's been with the help of the community, just making it come to life. And seeing that, I'm like, that should give those that are looking to do something hope.
Yeah, I think community plays a big part into it. The networking, community involvement, you know, like people that have been around for a while usually engage the community. They have like a group of collectors they're talking to.
Yeah.
More likely to attend conventions like New York Comic Con, SDCC. And then they also have, you know, with that comes like these established networks of trading and buying and selling collectibles. Yeah. Like, you have this group of friends where you're like, hey, if you see this, look out for me. Or, you know, you got a special Discord where you sell stuff. Whereas a new collector, sometimes they don't really know where to focus their attention. So it's like, you know, I'll go and be a part of every single stream that I can, and I'll talk here and I'll talk there. And that's awesome. Yeah. You know, that's how that stuff kind of grows. But I think sometimes you see people, you know, maybe being rude to the people that don't really know as much as what they're talking about. And they're just going there to get educated, you know?
Yeah.
We all say stupid shit sometimes. Doesn't mean that you don't know what you're talking about. You just might not have said it correctly. But I think the community and the involvement and being supportive of each other is so huge. Because at the end of the day, to Prime's point, we just want this to be more successful. Oh, we want more toys, you know?
Yeah.
And in order to get that, you got to kind of show some appreciation.
Yeah.
Not get, you know, a chip on your shoulder because you've been around for a long time that you expect something.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you have to act a certain way to get what you want. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot that you can kind of say about this stuff. I'd love to hear from you guys that are listening. Like, what do you think about plastic gluttony? You know, when I think about that, I think about some guy sitting on a throne surrounded by figures and, you know, just drool coming from his mouth.
You know, like joints, like broken figures.
Yeah,
you know?
Broken figures coming from his mouth, and he's not happy with what he's getting, and everything tastes bad. And I don't want to be that guy. I want to still enjoy it. And I think if you're getting to that point where you are feeling burnt out, then that's kind of a sign, like maybe just reevaluate or look at something that might interest you. Don't go with what's popular, go with what you're interested in.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, is there anything from New York Comic Con that kind of stood out to you of,
you know, from the last that you wanna... New York Comic Con Toy Fair? Like it was all a blurry haze of constant posting. Like I love it, but then at the same time, I'm like, oh my God, seeing the same. No, I love seeing the same picture on 50 different, like my feed's just like, you know, this one figure like fucking 50 fucking times. And I'm like, oh, I love it. It's not like I'm not seeing it too. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
To me, it's just fuck. And I get it. Like, everybody wants to be that one guy or that one person. I'm at NYCC. I'm gonna post. Like, I'm posting it. Just like he's. But it's like all of you are posting it, which I get. Again, I get it. It's just from outsider's perspective. I'm like, great. All day today, it's just gonna be the same fucking picture, all fucking day. And I'm like, I'm just gonna stay off IG because I've like all the reveals or all the announcements, like. I'm seeing them. I feel like the fucking mole in that whack-a-mole game where it's just you're getting hit over the head with it. But the one thing to answer your question, the consistent reveal or the line that kept getting my attention was Operation Monster Force.
Oh man.
Yeah. Again, like so freaking cool because there's so many characters that they were doing. And they're the same ones that did the like Naughty Santa, and they're doing all these other different characters. They're even doing like a long box characters where it's like the Tick and Rocketeer.
Yeah.
But Monster Force, oh my God, like I'm all in for Monster Force. If I could do a all buy-in like for Mythic Legions, I would do that bit. I've been on that page just looking for Monster Force. Yeah. Look at that. Like
Those long box heroes.
Long box. And that is that the goon from Mezco? Like, or I don't know if it's just goon from a comic.
I go back.
You got Grendel, you got Madman.
Oh yeah, right here. I would be surprised if it's the goon from Mezco, but it does look very similar.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fresh Funky Fiction, man. They're doing all kinds of crazy stuff.
They are. Oh, right there. The Monster Force is just killer. Mm-hmm. So many interchangeable options. They're offering like head packs with additional hands, some crazy head sculpts, like these zombified soldiers. Like I'm all in. Anything's and then these are the zombies I wanted. Like I may not be able to get my Marvel zombies, but these gory zombies, I'm like, I'm gonna need a handful. This is going back. The uniqueness, it's here. It feels like a G.I. Joe, like a Marvel legend. It's like, it's in my world. It's in my realm. I'm going to go all in. And it's basic enough because you got agents, you know, you got some soldiers. All right, cool. But then you can zombify them or you can make them alien or whatever. You know, it's like, it's very, very cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It makes you a bit more willing to like you know, because the prices are right where it doesn't feel like it's too expensive. It feels like I'm buying like a, you know, Marvel Legends style figure. Yeah. And it's just more unique, which I love stuff like that. We have enough of the mainstream comic figures and all of that
stuff. I have
stuff
enough Iron Man
all the time. Yeah, exactly. I want stuff that like is like this, you know, that's fresh and different. I think Monster Force is doing some really cool stuff. And Fresh Funky Fiction in general. Like I was just looking at the Naughty or Nice collection that's going to be coming up. We're probably going to be seeing a lot of this coming up soon.
Yeah.
You know, the new Santas that they revealed last Christmas or shortly after.
That's right. And I got to get in on that.
Yeah.
If I still can.
I have one of the original Santas. I don't think I ever opened it, but
opened them. See, we got to do a Christmas special. Open it up.
I know. I need to do. Yeah, we should have like a Christmas special. We're just opening toys.
Oh, yeah.
That would be fun.
And our bunny outfits.
Yeah, there's that. This 5K Toys. I can't remember what this is called. But you were telling me about this.
Yeah. That lion. Again, the Azure, what? Lion, whatever. He looks so unique. It's crazy where it's like, it's almost not even an action figure. You're just going to have him like on your mantle right next to Grandpa. And you're going to be like, look, your wife's going to be like, is that it? Nobody touch him. He's a work of art. It's crazy. Like I've been seeing a bunch of pictures of him and then he's like, they have him sitting on a throne, I think at New York Comic Con. It was that type of stuff where it's like, damn, I need to have that in my collections because it's such a unique piece. He probably doesn't go with anything else I have, but at this point, I'm like, it doesn't really matter.
Which is awesome that you're seeing stuff like this at a convention, you know, being more third party. It tells you how popular that stuff's starting to get within the community. People are a lot more willing to buy third party figures.
Yeah.
Awesome because, go ahead.
You're seeing a lot of this, what do they call, like anamorphic type of figures now? Like 5K Toys, they have like those gangster sharks on there, and then they've had that other tiger that's been really like super popular. You know, that's even in itself like a genre right now that a lot of people are into. Some people are like, I'm over the whole anamorphic thing, but that's almost like an 80s thing too, like Street Sharks. You had Biker Mics from Mars, like you had a bunch of stuff.
Animorphs, like baby.
Yeah. Oh yeah, animorphs. Yeah. What was I calling them?
Did he just say animorph? No, you said it right. I was just thinking of the book, the Animorphs.
Oh, I was like, I thought you knew like the proper term. I was like, thank you, sir.
No. But yeah, you're right. Like you're seeing a lot of like animal type figures.
Yeah.
Which I think is more, I want to say more like designer based, you know, like this guy here, is that guy. LA Comic-Con exclusive.
He looks badass too. I'm like, I don't know why, but I feel like I need him in my collection.
Yeah, he's like a boar. That this looks like a total gladiator badass.
Half boar, half rhino.
I feel stuff like Mythic Legions probably has been, you know, part of the reason why we're seeing more stuff like this.
Yeah, could be, yeah.
As lines like that are becoming more popular.
And see,
you see like, stuff like,
yeah,
you know, this exactly. year.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredibly
really
unique.
Out there.
Yeah. This is part of the Noda, or I don't know if this is Eitan Studios, but this is like their new reveal. I think it's called the Thunderbolt. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've seen pictures of that.
Yeah, really cool. Unique. We kind of moved straight into pre-orders, so let's just call it.
Yeah.
We're going to call this pre-orders now. We have a lot of new pre-orders to talk about. Talked about a couple of them already. Like the Noda toys here. Thunderbolt just went up recently for pre-order. I think this is an expansion on their Yamato figures. It was like the three-pack they released a while ago. One of them was like the Monkey King. I feel like this is an expansion on that, but I'm not entirely sure. So feel free to correct me in the comments. But this is, you know, just very unique. Stuff that might not appeal to you, but it probably appeals to somebody, which is why it's being made. Some of the new reveals, though, we got this King Conan. So this is going to be Conan number 3 for Mezco.
You know what's funny? I I already thought I had pre-ordered this. I was like, wait, why again? And I'm like, oh, that's nope. I wanted to pre-order this. Because when they revealed it, I think we had talked about it. I'm like, yep, I'm getting this. And that's how long ago they revealed it. And it's like, you forget about it. And you see it again. You're like, wait, didn't I already order this?
I think the reveal was more of like a crop picture of this.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
He's got kind of his head in the throne.
And so going again back to like knowing your stuff and not knowing your stuff. So go to the picture where they show him without the beard.
Oh, yeah.
Right? There's a picture of, and it's a, obviously it's an, yeah. So, and someone had posted like, oh, King Conan's up for pre-order. And in the comments, like, oh, see, like, didn't he have a beard? Like, this is totally different. Mezco's pulling something, a quick one on us. But like, the dude just went off, right?
Oh, boy.
And then instantly, like, people were like, dude, this is just an additional hit. Like, you didn't click far enough to see. Like, whoever had posted it in a group just took this screenshot and posted, like, hey, pre-order, you should go check it out. And I'm like, that's just kind of like a foot and mouth type of moment. You know, it's like, just relax.
Yeah.
Like, foot off the pedal. You're so quick to bash Mezco. Like, you got to know, like, there's usually more than one head sculpt. And at times when they first reveal them, there is going to be slightly changes. Like, we've seen that. But to go that far to be like, oh, I knew it. And he just went off. But luckily enough, like, there was other call where people were nice enough, were like, hey, dude, like, one guy had posted all the pictures. And he was like, hey, he does come with the beard. Like, just chill. Like, they changed the code a little bit. But everything else is still the same. And I think it was just like the fur.
Right.
Like, it looked more realistic on the promotional pictures. But it's, again, it's crazy. People jump to crazy conclusions when, if you haven't been long enough in the Mezco game or in the collecting game, just pump the brakes a little bit.
Yeah,
I just thought that was funny. I thought that was totally funny.
Yeah, it's hilarious. You see that all the time, though. It's just the hater wants something to latch onto.
And he was told.
So they'll say, yeah, the first thing that comes to their mind without doing really any research.
So what do you think? Are you getting this guy? Yeah.
I'm really tempted for this one. I think the only thing I don't like about this, and it goes back to some Frazetta art that Darklayer actually was showing, is that he doesn't have pants. I think the lack of pants.
Hey, he doesn't have pants.
It's weird to me.
Donald Ducking it. Who wears pants back in the, like, Frazetta was, his art was definitely pantless. You don't see, have you seen Frazetta's art? Come on.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. Good point. It's always very skin heavy.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of skin.
He needs
I feel like
he needs to present his dominance over his subjects, his little subjects. You're not going to be able to do that with wearing pants. What do you want him in this type of attire and like what, some slacks or something or some
let me
sweatpants?
Yeah, let me show you what
kind
I
of
mean.
Pants. What kind of pants do you want on King Conan?
Like this right here. You see this? Did that show up?
No. Let's see. Oh. Let's see what type of pants you're talking about.
Oops.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah, let me share here.
If it's just a picture of you in a suit, I won't be laughing.
This right here. This is some Frazetta
of
King Conan, and you can see he's got some pants on.
Yeah, he does have some pants on. He's fighting Frost, or the Games of Thrones.
Yeah.
He's fighting those. So it's cold.
White Walkers.
The White Walkers. Maybe they'll do like a winter version of King Conan. This is obviously the summer version of King Conan. If they gave us a PX version of King Conan with pants, I could see that.
I mean, we have had three Conans, so we probably will get another one. I just feel like it could have been an easy, you know, just like they gave us
hey, maybe
a cape.
Maybe Kylabs will hear you and they'll make some pants, you know.
I'm thinking we'll see some, definitely some clothing accessory packs for this.
I think Bill's going to be one of the first to put pants on him.
Yeah. Well, Bill's the one that, I only know that because of Bill.
He's like, I need some pants on my King Conan. Once he's king, he should be wearing pants. He's a man to be respected.
I will say, as far as the aesthetics are concerned, this is probably my favorite looking Conan.
Yeah, that's cool.
I like how he's got the beard, head sculpt. I don't really like the short hair, unbearded head sculpt. That's just
That's the worst one.
It looks like a bowl cut, kind of. It just looks odd. Yeah, because I'm used to him having longer hair.
Yeah.
So to see him short hair and then without the beard. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very 80s style. But I really like the chest armor. I like the swords. I like the fire effect. You get a lot of clothing, you know, the cape with the lion head clasps.
You know what? Seeing that, I just want like a King Leonidas head sculpt now to throw on there.
Yeah.
That would be sweet. Give me 300.
Yes. This is Mezco.
Yeah. Perfect.
All right. Staying on the Mezco train.
Yo,
we got Joe. 112 Collective Duke.
Look at that smirk. Duke. Can't seem like he's a trustworthy guy. He's up to no good with that smirk.
This head sculpt makes me feel like Duke's been tweaking a little bit or something. I don't know. Something's going on here.
Duke's like, this is probably before he went straight. Day. Yeah. He's thinking about, hopefully it's 5 o'clock.
Right. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. That's what he's thinking. Like, please, God, give me a drink.
Yeah.
He looks like he's had a really hard day. But I think the cloth goods, man, this is what makes these Joes look so good.
Yeah.
To me, is the cloth goods. Like, I love the G.I. Joe classified stuff. I think,
yeah.
Honestly, I don't know if this is going to sway me from classified because they're just hitting on all cylinders right now. Like, those figures are probably the best figures at the price point that I've come across.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you're really into a Joe's,
yeah,
I don't think this is a bad option because these look pretty amazing.
Or that it's not even if like, yes, you're really into Joe's, of course you're gonna get like the classifieds and this just because you're a completist, right? You're like, I'm a hardcore Joe fan. But then again, if you're like that connoisseur, you're like, I need to have this type of I don't know, like quality on my collection. Not only the Joes, because the Joes I can mess with, I can like do outside shots, I can get them all dirty. With the Mezco, maybe I'll do it in more controlled, like I'll do inside shots only. Because again, and these Mezco, it's like it doesn't even necessarily have to be a G.I. Joe shot. It could be just like a soldier guy, like, you know, it's they can blend in into whatever universe. So it could be Steve Rogers for all we know, you know.
That's true. You can definitely make this a Steve Rogers. You can kind of make it whatever you want.
Yeah.
And that's a great point because these are good stand-in figures.
Yeah.
You can use it really for anything, and that does make it a bit more appealing.
And those accessories.
Not so specific. Ooh. Yeah, and the accessories are great.
Yeah.
A lot of this stuff reminds me of like Gridiron Studios.
Yeah.
You know, they're always doing some crazy weapons and stuff.
Yeah. They do great stuff too.
These are all look like new, you know, compared to what I've seen from Mezco. Maybe not the pistol, but like this rifle or machine gun. This looks new. The kind of the grenade effect.
Yeah.
That looks new. I don't know what he's got here on this. I don't know what that's, maybe a tripod? Okay. Yeah, you just get some really, you know, different accessories.
That shovel, and then I'm like, oh, is he like, did he just take a shit? Like, what is that? And then I read it, I'm like, oh, it's a mud splash. They put the shovel and then like the splash. I'm like, is he like, so you can put him like, I'm taking a deuce.
Yeah, when you're in the field and you gotta take a deuce, you use your shovel.
That's right. But no, it's a mud
splash. Now you're going to see pictures of that because somebody listened to what Prime had to say. It's going to be Duke like squatting.
Yeah. And with the shovel, just, Joe. and the mud splash in the background.
Yeah.
Just give me credit. That's all I'm saying.
But what's, you know, funny is King Conan's 100.
Yeah.
Duke, for some reason, is $12 more.
Because the mud splash.
Yeah. Maybe it's the poop splash.
And he has pants. The minute you throw pants, that's $12 extra, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, okay, you got it.
In that sense, like Duke, I'm surprised he's only 112. Like, he looks like he comes with a lot.
Yeah, I mean, he comes with more accessories, I think, than Conan. But Conan comes with extra cloth goods, so it's more of like, where's the value? It's kind of hard to figure out where it's all coming from.
Still good price points.
This one, I'm surprised, is the price point that it is. Maybe not the new 5 points Doc Nocturnal Tower playset.
Yeah.
It comes with Doc Nocturnal, Woodford, the Decapoid Gang, the Land Reaper. A Nocturnal Tower playset and tons of accessories are included. I feel like somebody in the community made a vehicle for Doc Knock, like a custom. Somebody made back. I think it was Sid Vicious Toys, maybe. Or I don't know if it was a vehicle or if it's like
a helicopter. He made a helicopter.
Yeah, something like that. But it looked very similar to this.
Starting beef.
I'm thinking like whose idea?
Yeah.
I want a Doc Knock that looks like this, though. I think I like the way this Doc Knock looks compared to the original.
Oh, yeah.
Just more definition going on. Mm-hmm. I'm not really into 5 points, and I know you probably aren't really either.
I still have all my 5 points sealed that I've gotten with the purchases.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
it comes with a bunch of interchangeable arms, different head sculpt, some very specific Doc Nocturnal weapons. I think my favorite part of this is the Frog Butler. I kind of just want him. if somebody's getting this set and they don't want the Frog Butler, I would totally take it off your hands. Yeah. My wife would love that. But yeah, I mean, it's a cool set. You're getting a lot here. It is $120. So unless you're really interested, you might want to not want to pay that much. I do like the diorama.
Yeah.
That you get. Cool. That's pretty cool. Some really unique stuff within the diorama as well. And there's that vehicle, which has a flap for the gas tank, which is pretty amazing. Looks very detailed. Mezco seems like they're a bit more interested in doing vehicles now.
Yeah.
We've seen quite a few different reveals of vehicles. But yeah, this is out there if it tickles your fancy. If you're a designer, Mezco collector, and you want to get something that's very specific, then there you go. Staying on the Mezco train again, we have the PX exclusive sod cutter. This is interesting because PX exclusive stuff has been gone for a long time.
Yeah.
We haven't seen
it. I used to really dig their PX exclusive stuff. It was really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't really know why they ever went away, but at some point they did and we stopped getting them. But it looks like with Sod Cutter here, this is the reintroduction of PX stuff. Normally these figures are exclusive to like comic shops. So this is one that you'll probably see pop up in your local comic shop if you wanted to wait for it in hand. But it's also available on BBTS. It's on Entertainment Earth. I think for a brief moment it was on Mallfish, but it went really quick because Mallfish had the best price.
Yeah. And that might be it. The comic stores might get it for a little bit cheaper, but obviously BBTS and Entertainment Earth, they're gonna up the price just a bit.
I like how you're getting like this. We've seen this kind of set of tools before with the Joker.
Yeah.
But I like how they reintroduced it for Sod Cutter because it makes a lot of sense.
You know,
a lot of different colors going on.
Oh yeah, I love it because I just watched the Haunted Mansion and this gave me like Haunted Mansion vibes where I was like, damn, do I need to get this Theodore Sod Cutter just because he's blue?
Yeah,
maybe.
Matches the vibe. And if you missed out on Sod Cutter, this is a good way to get him. Comes with a bit different accessories. You don't get all the same stuff, but you do get a lot of similar things. All the head sculpts. I think you get all the hands. The tools didn't come with him originally. I think the hats came with him. And then all of this stuff did come with him, but all in different colors.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah. And then you get a new comic. This looks like a comic that's made just for this version because you've got him right here. So, yeah, I mean, he's $150 on BBTS, which kind of pricey.
Yeah.
Based on what we were just looking at for some Mezcos, but he's out there if you guys are interested. a couple of, we'll go into maybe one or two more. This is a little late because you probably missed out on the pre-order. However, this is coming. The Mythic Legions Reinforcements 2 wave, reintroducing some old figures with new paints. The Ogre Scale figure, everybody's been asking for this one. Some really unique looks, like the Shadow Orc Grunt. He's really cool. He gives me Lord of the Ring vibes.
Yeah.
The Templar with a different paint scheme. Silverthorn Sentry was one of the very first figures they released. Looks like he's going to re-release here. This whole wave was $200, but I think for seven figures, that's a really good deal.
Wow.
And this won't be it won't be the last time. I think what they revealed last week was just an early bird kind of all-in set. If you missed that, don't worry too much. They're going to re-release these later on individually, so you'll have another chance. But yeah, we'll stop there. We've been talking a lot about pre-orders and stuff. Still more to out there, but so much those are cover. Kind of the main ones we wanted to. Yeah, it's too much to cover. And this show's not just about the pre-orders. This is about other stuff too. We'll move into Plastic Confessions.
Should we do it at the same time?
Let's do it at the same time. I think I know which one we're going to start with.
All right.
Ready and go.
Set, go.
Oh,
look at that.
Nice. I got the box and he has the Robin. Figure. Yeah. I sent him my Robin and I kept the box.
And you got yours a couple days ago. I did. Just like today, a couple hours right before we started recording. What are your thoughts initially on the Robin?
I was just opening him up.
I saw the heat that he was getting. Some good stuff, some not so great stuff. Controversial.
I think he's fantastic, man. I've been wanting a Mezco Robin since I got my first Mezco Batman.
Yeah, same here.
So I'm all for it. I think he looks great. I think his size is great. He's supposed to be a little bit smaller. Some people say he's still too big. I think it works.
I got two.
Oh, nice. That's a custom. Speaking of designer stuff.
Yeah.
Prime had invested in this designer version of Robin from, I think that's a suit you said from Doormat Studios, right?
Yep. Yeah. Doormat Studios. And then
and it looks very similar to the Mezco.
You know, it's crazy. Yeah. And the great thing, like when I bought this piece from Doormat Studios, he had put the recipe up. He's like, oh, use this, the Robin Toddy Mac piece. Says the belt, yada, yada, yada. And that's what I ended up doing. Just, you know, using the stealth body Spider-Man and then went out, got that Toddy Mac Robin and chopped them up. So that's crazy. Yeah, when I put them
crazy next, how close.
They're exactly the same. You know, it's like same size. This new Robin is much skinnier. His limbs are much thinner, but they're the same height. So it's cool.
Which is interesting because your custom was made on the stealth suit Spidey, right?
Yeah, years ago. You know, and so what I did earlier was I took off the head sculpt and I threw it on this one. And it's still, I mean, it fit. Like, I was like, okay, I can interchange them and make it like a...
Oh, yeah. Nice.
He's like stealth version. His boots are black, so...
Mm-hmm.
So it looks good. Cape's black.
Yeah, it looks great.
Yeah,
I like the cape. That's cool. Yeah, I really like the new Mezco Robin. Since you have a designer in a Mezco, what do you think? Do you like it?
Oh yeah, I freaking like the accessories. You know, you get an official Robin.
I was
you know,
just gonna say.
It's like
I love that he comes with the bow.
Yep,
the bow staff, all the different batarangs, the sword.
You know
what? They really knocked out of the park. I'm extremely happy with
the three different head sculpts. I really liked because they're all slightly different expressions. You know, even the stoic mount, and then he has the grin, and then the angry one, which I
like how he has the smirk.
Yeah, it's a smirk. We didn't get no funky teeth thing going on, which I really like. Like they're getting away from the teeth. So we got the smirk and we got the angry expression, and then like he comes with like this mask that you can put on his face, right? So I was trying on the COVID mask on him.
Awesome.
Yeah. The COVID mask, but it fits you know really good on his face.
He's prepared for the next viral outbreak.
Oh yeah, he's ready to go. He's and what we were talking about earlier is it's funny that Mez gives us a Robin, but then he gives you the Robin that not most of us are fans of. He gives us the Damian Robin.
I know. That seems to be the point of contention for a lot of people. Is like, why this Robin?
Yeah.
Just be happy you're getting a Robin.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say.
All right.
Now
so you
that
got
we have
Robin.
They revealed Nightwing's coming.
Yeah.
So we'll get more of the Batman.
Batgirl.
That's my only plastic confession. What else did you get?
Oh, and then Solomon Kane came in.
Another nice.
Came in yesterday.
I love how unique Solomon Kane is for Mezco. He's so much different than all the other Mezcos out there.
Yeah, amazing detail, great weapons. The interchangeable head with the hair pieces and the hat, that's different from Mezco. That was awesome. And then I picked up some Amazon Prime deals. I got, we're speaking of G.I. Joe.
Nice.
So I think that's it was
good,
like 60.
Good time 60, to grab 50, him.
$15, something like that. I missed that when he was eight. But, and then I got the Wolverine again, $16.
Oh yeah,
like
that's a steal.
And he comes with some two killer head sculpts. And then finally, we're talking about, you know, designer stuff. I got my Kai Lab Western sets from 5K Toys.
Ooh, yeah. I've seen some great pictures of that set. You know what figure you're going to be using for him?
You know, originally I wanted to throw it on Solomon Kane because I wanted like a cowboy. And I'm like, but then I'm like seeing all the stuff he comes with. I'm like, I don't want to take any of this stuff. Like, I'm going to have to find a different figure. I have some V-Toys blank bodies. So I got to, now I'm going to have to buy more clothes.
I think, and I know he was made for some people using the green vapor.
Yeah, I have an extra green vapor too. So,
because he's got the pants that kind of work well with the Western theme. So he might be a good option too.
Oh, the Vampirini. It's
that
vapor. I don't have that one. I have the old school vapor.
Yeah, I don't have that one either.
Damn
it. I have the blue one with the jeans.
Yeah. We'll see. I'll come up with something.
Yeah, you'll come up with something.
I'll come up with something.
You get anything else or?
Did I? No, I think that's it. I mean, that's it.
What else that's do you plenty.
Want? Yeah.
Not enough. Oh, and I do like how I got the Halloween Mezzets with Robin.
Oh, yeah. That was killer. I need to see which Mezzet. I haven't opened it. I really love.
I got this like Halloween one that's been going out.
I dig the pin.
Yeah, that one. I like the pin too. And you get stickers.
Yeah, stickers are
kind of cool.
Perfect timing, right before Halloween.
Yeah, really good timing. All right, going into Nasty Nate's Dirty Trick for the week. I talked about storytelling last week, and I thought I'd lead, or last time, I'll lead in with composition for this week. I think focusing on composition is a really critical part of toy photography. Really impacts the visual appeal. It adds to the storytelling aspect of your images. One, I think, tip that really helped me when I was first kind of starting out, and I can't remember who told me this, otherwise I'd give him credit. Probably Iwatu Tom. The rule of thirds.
Yeah.
So you divide your frame into a 3x3 grid, both horizontally and vertically. I just did that backwards, horizontally and vertically. And then you start positioning like key elements of your shot, like your main subject or some points of interest along those grid lines. So like you're using these lines as a way to frame your shot because you want your eyes to kind of that rule of three, you want to look like up, left and right. So you want them to see the entire frame. And if you're positioning things along those grid lines, it usually creates a really nice composition to where everything's kind of flowing together. You've got nice little elements covering, you know, negative spaces within the shot. And some DSLR cameras or nicer cameras will give you that grid. It's something that you can use as like a menu option within your camera, is that you can create this grid. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that can really be helpful when you're like, some people struggle with, how do I frame this right? Or how do I get the correct symmetry, the correct balance? You know, where's the leading lines at in my shot? Composition can really help. So if your camera has that grid, I definitely recommend using that and then trying to position things along the lines of that grid, because that really draws your eye in and can help kind of tell the story. If you've got, let's say, vapor sitting on a sofa, you know, looking at toys or something, you can have toys along the lines. You could have like a beer sitting on the side, you know, maybe a boombox or something along the bottom line. You're kind of just using this all to sort of frame around him. It can really help with composition. So I could say a whole lot more about that, but we're already a little bit over on time. So I'll leave it there. The rule of thirds. If you don't know what I'm talking about, look it up. Last but certainly not least is our weekly figure aficionado.
Heyo.
And I'm kind of surprised I've never featured this guy before, because I've known him for a while. He's been taking toy shots for, I don't know, ever since I think I started. I don't even know. Maybe before I started.
Forever.
A long, long time. Yeah, he's been very active in the toy community for a long time. And you guys probably know who it is. His name is grown men toys.
Hey-o. Killer stuff. So yeah, he's he does some killer work.
Really great photographer. He's been super active lately, just posting new figures. He's got this Spider-Man Peter Parker shot. I love this Mondo Batman shot. It looks so good.
Man.
The background, the lighting, the use of
Mondo's
the bat
been killing
signal.
It.
Yeah, they really have been killing it. And I think he's been collecting more and more. I love this Superman standing next to the telephone booth. This looks great. The Rex one and the April O'Neil. He's been really heavily. He's got Nezco Robin already behind the lens. You know, him and Batman caught Joker and Harley. Just really great. I mean, like, he's been super active with shots and he's always pumping stuff out. I love this really close up Void Strike suit Gomez shot showing a lot of detail. He's just killing the game, man. He's super active. Definitely giving me some inspiration to want to get back at it. So yeah, he had an original page that had a lot more followers. Unfortunately, that got hacked. This is his new page. So yeah, if you saw him at one point and you're wondering where he went, please go follow him on his new page so you can get back up to that 24K. But just wanted to recognize you, man. I think you're doing amazing work. I really appreciate your stuff. It's always in my feed. It's one of those guys I always see in my feed. And he's really good about supporting the community. He's always promoting other artists, trying to get other words out there, other artists out there. So, yeah, we just appreciate you, man. I think you're killing it. Keep up the great work. Please go support him if you guys are watching. Grown Men Toys.
There you go. Awesome. We did it. We made it.
Unfortunately, that has come to the end of our episode.
That's it. That's it, guys.
That's all you get.
Exit your seats to the left. Throw your popcorn, your drinks. Don't leave nothing behind.
What you can leave behind is a like button.
Yeah. Comment, like, share it. Do what you got to do.
Leave a comment. Yeah. Let us know what you guys think about designer versus mainstream toys, the toy connoisseur versus the noob. What do you think? You think we're wrong? Mm-hmm. You think we're right? Do you have other things to say about it? What are some of your favorite reveals from New York Comic Con?
Yeah.
Or some of the stuff that we talked about? We want to hear from you. We love reading those comments. So please make sure you guys are doing that. And then, like I talked about before, if you're not subscribed already, please subscribe. Spread the word so we can continue to grow. And hit that notification bell so you don't miss when we go live. Prime, where can they find you?
You guys can catch me on Instagram and Facebook. Under Prime to the First. Well, because the other stuff, like, majority, I'm on IG. Yeah, so Instagram. I have a Facebook under Prime to the First bit. Most of it, everybody catches me on Instagram, so you guys can catch me on IG. What about you?
You guys can catch me at figurefan_Nate on Instagram. I promise I'll post again at some point. Facebook, Threads, which is basically Instagram. And I'm not really on TikTok anymore, so I'm going to stop saying that.
Yeah.
But yeah, you guys can find me there.
Till next time.
All right, everyone. Well, have a great night. Thanks for tuning in, and we will see you next time.
Catch you guys later. Peace.